thank the Lord for being here. Thank the Lord for that song. It's really encouraging. So glad that we have found the Lord and He filled our soul that we craved something. We didn't know exactly what it was till we found Jesus. And He just, He filled that longing and it's lasted many years. And I thank the Lord for that. I want to talk tonight about love. Pray the Lord will help me. I felt real inspired about it. And I don't think I'll just put this on the board, but in my mind, I'll tell you what I was thinking about. I thought about a chain and love in the middle of that chain and that chain connecting all the way up to God. And that I really believe, now we know the blood of Jesus saves us, but keeping us connected with God and loving Him all the way to heaven, I really believe that love is one of the most important things that keeps us saved, keeps us going on. You just said, you know, I found something in my soul that my soul craved, and that connection with God, that love. You know, people sometimes, they get married and they say, well, I'm going to make a commitment with this person. And you know, when you first get married, you know a little bit about love. But you hear people say they're married 40, 50 years, 60 years, and they say, well, I love this person more than I ever have. But, you know, it takes more than commitment in a marriage. It takes real love. Because love conquers all. And with God, we want to talk about God's love. This is the most important thing. This will help us through everything in life, is to love Him. Love Him supremely. And we want to read a scripture in 1 John. When we have love for God, it'll take us through everything, anything. And He can teach us, and He can woo us, and He can talk to us. And this all can generate from love, our love for God. God can work with that. When we really, truly love Him, He can work with that. So I like to read 1 John 5:1-3. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him, that begot, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. When we love God, it makes us want to keep His commandments. It gives us some convictions in our life. It's going to take more than the saints teach this. Well, you know, the saints teach the Bible, and they teach the truth. But it's going to take more than that. It's going to take us believing the Bible and having convictions on the Bible and having convictions in our life that we know that we're doing this because we love God and we have convictions that the Bible is true and that He wants us to obey God above everything. And then we will love Him that way. And we will, it said, this is the love of God. People can say, I love God, but their actions are not producing the kind of fruit to say, I really love God. I love God, but I'm withholding things from God. I'm not keeping all God's commandments, but I'm still saying I love God. But we really love God, we'll be willing to keep His commandments. It says, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. It's not something hard. And you know, the scripture says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And when we love God, it's easy. You know, I think about a man that works hard all his life to provide for his family. We have some good Christian men here that do that. And they spend many years working hard And they love their family. And so it's not hard. It's not grievous. It's not hard to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning or whenever they get up. It's not hard to go out there and do that because they love their family. Same with mothers and women that love their family. They're willing to do things for them because it's all connected with love. Love is one of the greatest things. And we're going to get to scripture there about that in a little bit. But it said, keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You know, it's not something hard, but it's something that we want to do. Because we found, like the song said, we love God so much and he loves us, and there's a connection there that we want to please God. No one's making us. No one's forcing us. No one's, you know, we all doing this because we love God. If you're married and you have a husband or wife, no one's forcing you to be with that person. You're doing it because you love them. You want to make it work. You want to make them happy. You want to be the best you can be. It's all the same with children, you know. Children, I think sometimes if we can get over to children, how much your parents love you. You know, sometimes that'll break it, and that'll cause that child to even act better and do better. I remember when I was young, sometimes my father, I had a father that was very loving and a very good father. He was very strict, though, I thought. But, you know, my father sometimes, he would spank me as a, even up in the teenage years, he would spank me. And then he would sit down and talk to me for maybe an hour or longer. And he would just tell me how he spanked me because he loved me. And because he wanted me to do right and not do wrong and not rebel. And he would just talk and talk. But at first I was thinking, you know, but you spank me and you're mean. But he kept saying, because I love you, because I want you to do the right thing. You know, but if I could have just got a hold of it better. At first I didn't see it like that. And it was hard for me. And I would go in my room sometimes and think, you know, I don't like my dad. He's mean. He's strict. And he does me wrong. I had a bad attitude. But when I finally realized that my dad really loved me, it caused me to want to do better. And since I've grown up and got married and had children of my own, I understood better that my dad was doing it because he really did love me. He really loved me. And you know, if we can get a feeling this way with our Heavenly Father, that God is not trying to stand over us and just make us do things and be hard on us. He's doing it for our own good. He wants you to stay away from sin. He wants you to have a good life. He wants you to be happy. He's not taking anything away from you except the bad things, the things that would hurt your soul. He loves you. He spanks you or chastises you. It's because he wants to teach you how to do the right thing. And sometimes you've heard the saying, if you'll, I think it'd be all right to say it. Well, maybe I shouldn't say it that way, but sometimes people are a little bit stubborn, and sometimes even a Christian can be that way, not mean to be, but maybe just be a little stubborn in our own mind and not get the lesson, and the Lord has to work on us, and he has to chastise us, he has to cause trials to come in our life, for us to realize, this is why you're suffering this. Because you did such and such. Has the Lord ever talked to you that way? But it's his love. It's a father's love. And the Lord does love us. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. It's a natural thing for us to love those that are born of God, because we have a connection. We have a connection through the blood of Christ. You know, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. You know, I can't think of anything that comes from the devil that's good. Anything I can think from the devil is hatred and harm and misery. And I look into the world of people and their faces and sin. I can't see any love there, really. I can't see anything that the devil gives people except bad things. But God is all love. Everything he produced from God is love. His wisdom, his understanding, his teaching of the word of God, everything comes from love. Everything that he teaches us is how to be a better person, how to walk the right way, how to make it to heaven. Everything that comes from God is good, but everything that comes from the devil is evil and bad, and it produces bad fruit, and it's wicked. Everything, if you look at the world and sin, it's all of the devil. Everything that's not of God is all of the devil, but God is love. Everything comes from love. Beloved, let us love one another. Love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Didn't he love us when we were in sin and we were ugly and we needed God and we were just unholy and unthankful and we weren't what we should be? He still reached out his mercy to us because of his great love. Oh, he loves us so much. And then God says, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. I just thank the Lord tonight for his great love. And the 16th verse says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You know, when we really know that we are saved, we have no fear of death, really. We might in our flesh, but in our spirit we don't, because we know that God is love, and we know that God's going to take us through, and we have this assurance, and there's no fear in it, because we believe, we have faith, we know everything's going to work out all right. Oh, it's wonderful to know God like that. It says we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You know, the Lord wants us to love one another. It's not hard to love one another. You know, I wrote down something here, and I believe this is really true. It says, anger cannot rest in the bosom where love reigns. It is hard to be angry with those we love, but very easy to drop our resentments and be reconciled. Amen. Isn't that true? Yeah. If your child does wrong and they come and say they're sorry, it's not hard to forgive that child because you love the child. You love the child and you want it to get reconciled quickly. You want it to be because you have love, and you can't be angry when there's love there. So anger cannot rest in the bosom where love reigns. It is hard to be angry with those we love, but very easy to drop our resentments and be reconciled. Oh, may the Lord help us to be like that. I know we want to read some scriptures over here in Matthew 10 and 22. May the Lord help us. It says here, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but that he that endureth to the end shall be saved. You know, we're going to have to endure to the very end. And love will help us to do that. Loving God and keeping our connection with God will help us to endure to the very end. But when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. And then it goes on to say in the 24th verse, the disciple's not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. But I tell you in darkness that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear that preach ye upon the housetops. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. You know, when you love God, you can be bold for the truth in a sweet way, but you can be steadfast, unmovable, and you don't have to care. If you're persecuted, you can still be strong for the Lord. The Lord said there will be times when we'll be persecuted, but he said that the servant as his Lord, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? But fear them not. Do not fear. You know, some people, their love doesn't last through persecution. They get persecuted enough, they fall away. They have problems with someone, they fall away. They let that come between them and the love for God. And that's not good. That's not right. We'll get in trouble if we do that. But the Lord wants us to know, to love him. To love him whether you're persecuted or not. Love him and just keep loving God. Because you are of more value than many sparrows. And, it's not so much, don't worry about the person that could hurt the body. But remember that God has got your soul in his hands. Worry about that. Be concerned about that more. It says, whosoever therefore should confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. You know, when you love God, you're not ashamed of God. You can be in places, but you don't have to be ashamed of the Lord. You don't have to be ashamed to pray. You don't have to be ashamed of the Lord. But you can be bold for the Lord. That's what the Lord wants you to do. He doesn't want you to be ashamed of him. I remember one time years ago, before one of the children was born, I was at a doctor's office. I was with the first child. And they asked me some questions. And, there was a little bit of fear there of telling them the honest truth. But the Lord spoke to me. And he said, you tell them exactly how you feel. Tell them your convictions. Tell them in a good, nice way and polite. But tell them the truth. Do not be ashamed of how you believe. Saints, we're not to be ashamed of how we believe. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We are a peculiar people, but we're God's people. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We have the greatest thing in this side of heaven. God has chosen us to be his seed. He's chosen us to be the church of God. It's a wonderful calling. And there's nothing at all to be ashamed of. Rather, they should be ashamed, not us. But it says, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. That's pretty serious, isn't it? We want to be careful. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. You know, this gets very, very close in our life. People's family. But the Lord said, I think of it this way, as the scriptures before that, do not be ashamed to stand up to your family. Maybe some family that's not saved, tell them the truth, tell them in a sweet way, but tell them how you feel. And love them, but love them less than you love God. Always love God more. And sometimes it gets very, very close. Because love is very strong. And sometimes we love people and we love our family so very much. A father and a daughter relationship. How much you love your father. I remember, I still love my father. He's been dead 3 years. I still cry over my father. I have a deep, deep love in my heart, an emotional. I can see the last time he waved goodbye to me. I love my father, but I love God more. I love my mother so dearly. And I don't know, I mean, I'm not saying this in a boastful way, but I try to call my mother every day, even though I'm miles away from her, and I love her so dearly, deeply, but I love God more. And that's what we must do, dear ones. We must love God more than anyone. The ones that we love the most in this world, the closest tie that we could ever have, the deepest love we could ever feel or emotion that we'll ever have in our life, we still must love God more than that person. We must love God even more than our own self. Everybody loves your own self. But you know, we still got to love God more. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Oh, you know, I believe there could be a complete message just on that one verse there. But you know, he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Isn't it the truth? You know, it just seems like sometimes you first get saved, you may battle consecration. And when I'm saying battle it, you know, not submit to it. And then when you finally give yourself to the Lord and submit to that consecration and the Holy Spirit comes in and you're sanctified and you find that longing, oh, what a blessing. It says, the song says, let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee. Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it? To lose ourselves and find it in God. Oh, it's a blessing. You know, it's mysterious, and to the people in the world, the gospel's mysterious. But those that find it understand what we're saying tonight. It's a wonderful thing. It says, he that findeth his life shall lose it. If you go after your own personal life, and not if you don't commit it and submit to God, you're going to lose it in the end. But if you will lose your life for my sake, you will find it. The Lord loves us so much that when he knows that the perfect price is paid, God will send the holy fire. But you have to, each one of us individually has to pay that price. We have to love God enough to give ourselves to God, and God will send the blessing. He has no respect to persons. He doesn't love any one of us here better than someone else. He loves everyone in this room just the same. He loves us all, and he's willing. But we have to love him. We have to love him enough to submit to his will. And it says here, He that receiveth, I'll say, he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. I like to read Ephesians 4. Lord, help us. Ephesians 4 and 14. It says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. There is a way for us to hold the true position, standing firm, and speak truth in love. Sometimes we may be judged wrongly. I'll say this, but people may misunderstand the saints because we are so strong in some of our convictions. And we may appear to men to be too strict or too strong or too harsh, and it's not the truth. That is not the truth. I believe the saints have a love, a very deep love for people. And they have mercy for people. And they're not holding judgment on people, because that's not love. That's not love, to judge our brother and sister in their falls. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about compromise in any way. I'm talking about someone that's been overtaken in a fault, or someone have went as far as to sin. The saints have mercy and love. They still speak the truth to them. They still hold the position, but they are loving creatures. The saints are loving people and kind and merciful, and they're not willing that any should perish, just like Jesus. They're not willing that any should be cut off, but they want to see that brother or sister restored. That is true love. And it says here, be not carried about with everything. You know, when we find the truth, we don't have to search anymore. We know what we have. We know we love it. And we're not looking for nothing else. We're satisfied. You know, I mean, I believe there's a lot of people here that could testify in their hearts that they have found what they were looking for with the people of God. They have found, they have made up their mind, this is where I'm going to be till I die. I'm not looking for any other doctrine. I'm not looking for any other church. This is the people that are teaching the Bible, the whole Bible. And I'm happy that the Lord would permit me just to be one of his little ones. And I'm happy that the Lord had mercy on me. All of us, we could say that. So let's turn to St. John 21. How much do we love the Lord? You know, one thing about Jesus, he knows. People cannot always tell. They can tell us to a certain point by your fruit, your actions. But I would say that God truly knows tonight, deep in our soul, in our heart, how much we love him. And probably he's allowed some tests to come in our life to find out how much we loved him. I think about Abraham. He said, take your son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and take him for an offering. And when the Lord saw that he loved him that much, he said, behold, a ram's in the bush. But he allowed a test to come to Abraham to find out. If God would do that with Abraham, you think he might do that with us? And sometimes it says, brethren, think it not strange, the fiery trial, which is to try you, some strange thing has happened unto you, but rejoice. But you know, we have to meet so many things in life sometimes. But, you know, through it all, you know, if the Lord finds out that I really, or you really love him, isn't it worth it all? Well, Lord, you know, it was hard, but you know that I love you. You know that I love you. I can get down and pray and say, you know, well, Lord, you know that I love you. Peter, Jesus said to Peter here in the 15th verse of the 21st chapter of St. John, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You know, Peter had went back to fishing. If you read up there above that, you know. Peter said in the third verse of that same chapter, I go fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. You know, influence. I don't know what all Peter was thinking. Maybe he was a little bit down and discouraged, thinking Jesus had died on the cross. And you know what? I think I'm just going to go back to my old occupation. I'm just going to go fishing. That's what he knew to do. And so he thought, well, I'll just do that. But the Lord had a different plan for Peter, and God would not let him get away from that. Do you know when God has a plan for you, he will not let you go. He will not let you go. You might go fishing. You might go do something, but you know what? The Lord's going to talk to you. You belong to me. You just get, come here. You belong to me. I want you to do something for me. And this is what Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And when we're reading these scriptures tonight, I want you to think about Jesus talking to you, talking to me tonight. Lovest thou me? Whatever the Lord is calling you to do you love the Lord enough to do it? Do you love the Lord enough to make that consecration? Or are you going to withhold? Keep holding back. That's not real humility. Sometimes people think, well, it's humble not to do nothing. I just sit and do nothing. It's just humble. But that's not, a lot of times it takes humility to do it. Because it's not always easy to do that, to consecrate what the Lord wants you to do. But you've got to do it. I remember this story years ago. There was someone that said to someone that was coming out of church, this is a true story. And this lady had said something behind the pulpit or done something, and she was embarrassed. And she was coming out of the chapel, and this sister got a hold of her, and she said, Sister, don't feel bad. You've got to consecrate to make some blunders for the Lord. And I tell you what, when you start working for it, you'll make some blunders. But you know what? If you love the Lord, you'll just get up and keep going on. Because you're doing it for the Lord. You're doing it because you love the Lord. And it says here, Simon, son of Jonas, loveth thou me. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. You know, every one of us in here has a gift. We have a gift from God. I don't know what it is, but God will reveal to you. You have a gift. Yes, you do. You have a gift and you have a calling of some kind. I believe that. There's even helps in the Bible. And you know, we always need helps. We need people that help. There's just many, many blessings. And you know, the Lord, if you do that for the Lord, I think about the scripture that was quoted here this morning about, I could be rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. If it's just opening the door for the saints, you've got a gift. But I know God has a gift. You have a gift for God, and God wants to use your gift. But you have to be willing to love him enough to do it. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now let's think about how the Lord, when he tells us something, sometimes it's just a few words. It's not usually a big paragraph, usually, or a long chapter to read. But he tells us point blank straight exactly what he wants us to do. He is a still small voice, but he tells us over and over. He'll just like he told Peter what you're supposed to do. But if we love the Lord, we're willing to do what the Lord tells us to do. And 1 Corinthians 13, love chapter. First, I wanted to tell a story that came to my mind about love. And we did mention a father's love, and this story is true. And I read and probably some of you heard about it too, but This little girl, I think she was maybe 5 or 6 years old, but she, one day she was talking to her mother. Her mother had scarred hands and they were very ugly. And she said, "Mother, why are your hands so ugly?" And it kind of hurt the mother a little bit at first, but she said, "Well, sit down, daughter. I'm going to tell you a story." And she said, "When you were a little baby and you were in your crib," she said, "the house got on fire." She said, "I'd went away to the neighbors for just a few minutes, thought you would be fine. But when as I returned, the house was on fire. And I ran into the fire and got you out of that crib. And my hands were burned because of it. And that's why they're so ugly." And she said, "Mom," she said, "those are the most beautiful hands in the world. Because it was love. It was love that caused that mother to do that. Love is the greatest thing." You know, I don't know what actually originated. I haven't studied it out. I wasn't really thinking about this in the earlier part of the week. But St. Valentine's Day, you know. But the thing is, it's a day to show love to each other. I can't see anything wrong with that. You know, how it originated, you know, we have a lot of different holidays, but I think it is good to show love, not just that day, but every day. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I know men, they think, well, you know, I don't know why these ladies like roses. I don't know why, you know, it seems kind of silly to them, maybe. I remember sometimes, even years ago in Michigan, my husband, we had our roses outside in the yard, and he picked some flowers outside off the rose bush and brought to me. And they were just as special to me as if he spent a lot of money at the flower shop, you know. And I think about little children, how my own grandchildren haven't even done that. My own little children, girls, when they were little, sometimes they'd bring me these little weeds that were little flowers on the weeds, you know. I'd gather them up, and they'd come running as fast, sometimes almost tripping, to get me this little bouquet of, and actually just weeds, but they were flowers, because they loved me. They were showing me love. It didn't cost anything. You know, I know sometimes these Valentine cards might get kind of expensive, but you know what? You could just write a few words on a piece of paper if you don't want to buy a card. You could just say, "I love you." You know, it's very good to show love to each other. It's very good to show love to one another. It's just very good. And in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind." Charity suffereth long. You know, long suffering, I wrote down a few words here. It says, "Endure evil or injury without being resentful or having revenge in our hearts." That's long suffering. You know, it takes a saint of God, it takes a real Christian, a sanctified person, to endure injuries and evil things said about them or things that hurt and not have revenge in their hearts or want to get back. But endure evil and injury without being resentful or having revenge in our hearts. You know, this is nothing that comes from God. It comes from a love to God. When we love God more, we are able to love our enemies. The Lord said, "Love your enemies. Bless them which curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be called the children of God." He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. He blesses people that are not worthy of his blessings, but that is the way God is. God is love. "Rather wait and wish for the reformation of a brother that is long-suffering." You know, that's the real long-suffering. Instead of might put it, but, you know, we love the truth and we want the truth to prevail. But we must have enough love to want the brother to be restored and not to be cut off, to be long-suffering with them as the way God is. And there's a way to do it. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Kind means courteous. Our heart is large and open, ready to do favors, to be kind, to do good, searches to do good, and seizes opportunities, and patient under injury. You know, there's opportunities that passes probably daily or quite often, I'll say that. Opportunities that if we let it pass to be kind or to do good, we can never go back and do that. I know since my father died, I've thought of, you know, things that maybe I could have done differently. Some way I could have blessed him in his life, which I did try to bless him, but extra blessings that I wish I would have done. But it's too late. It's gone. That opportunity, that space of time is gone. What about in your life? Who do you really love? Who do you love in your own personal life? Don't let the opportunity go by to tell them how much you love them. You know, there was some woman that was telling me this. I forgot who the woman was, but it wasn't very long ago. And she said that her husband told her that he loved her daily several times a day. And she said he would tell her, I love you, several times a day. You know, that's wonderful, isn't it? Well, if that wife was taken away, that man couldn't think, well, I didn't tell my wife I loved her enough. He couldn't think that because he had done it. So many times people have, it's not what you did for that person when they die. It's what you didn't do. That's what bothers you. That's what always bothers you, what you didn't do. But kind, charity is kind. And charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. It says here, charity suppresses envy. It is not grieved at the good of others, neither at their gifts or their good qualities. And they never can, cannot wish ill to any. We never can wish ill to any if we have real love in our heart. There's just no possible way. If we have the real love of God in our heart, we don't wish ill to nobody. True love will give esteem to our brother. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Charity never faileth. If you love God, you remember that chain I mentioned when I first got up, that chain, if you put love connected on that chain, that's a strong chain that cannot be broken. If you keep the love of God in your heart, love for God and love for your brother, sister, those two, that will help you make it through life. All these fruits of this chapter, it would probably be good for us to read this chapter over. And the 13th verse of that same chapter, the last, it says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Because why? Why would the greatest thing be love? Because love is so strong. Love is so strong. I remember one time years ago, I wanted to go visit my parents in Rhonda and I took a trip. I won't tell the details of it. It was quite a trip. I'll just say this much. We decided to take a bus, so you can imagine, to West Virginia. Greyhound. Oh, what an experience. All the way to West Virginia. But you know what provoked that? Was I was talking to Jerry's sister, and I said, I want to go see my dad and mama. And my mom always said, it's wonderful to ride a bus. And I never had tried it, you know. So I'm ready to try anything that's not wrong, you know, within reason. She said, oh, it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. And so I asked Jerry's sister, and she said, well, follow your heart. I said, follow my heart? I said, that's it. Okay, follow my heart. Well, I want to go see my dad and mom, so I'll follow my heart. So I got the bus ticket. Well, it was quite an experience, but oh my, never forgot that. I tell you what, it was love that provoked me to get there. You know what? We got to have this love that we're going to get to heaven no matter what. No matter what, by God's grace, you know, we're not boasting in ourselves, but by God's grace, we're going to get to heaven. No matter how long that bus ride is, or so to speak, we are going to go. And we're going to make it at the other end because we love God so much. Praise God. You pray for me.